Anyone remember a couple of weeks ago, Pastor Paul talked about, I am a move of God. I am a move of God. You are a move of God. Who wakes up in the morning and thinks, how can I bring the kingdom of heaven down to earth today? Who actually thinks that? I don't want you to put your hands up. I want you to ask yourself that question. Ask yourself that question. Do I wake up in the morning and is that what I think? How do I bring the kingdom of heaven down on to earth today? Because you were made in the image and likeness of God. And the first command you were ever given was multiply, spread out across the earth. So we've got people from South Africa who've spread out across to Australia. We've got people from Poland. We've got people from England, from Singapore, from all over the place. And we're all spread out across the earth now. And wherever you find yourself, establish the kingdom. So what I want to say to you is if you don't wake up thinking that, if you've got other things, I mean, sure, we all also think about work, and we all also think about everything else, but in all those things we can think about how do we bring the kingdom of God to where I am. And if you don't think like that, then I'm going to put it to you that you don't believe that you're a move of God. And so I want to ask a question. And I'm going off this premise that we all get like this from time to time. We can be honest today. We all sometimes forget and get bogged down and get depressed we get distracted and we stop thinking, how can I be a move of God? Are you with me today? Am I speaking to people who know what I'm talking about? Does anyone ever get like that? Yeah, good, fantastic. I'm not off by a mile. And you got to ask yourself the question, why? Why don't you think, like this? Why don't you think that you're a conduit to heaven? You literally are a conduit to heaven. Do you know that? Wherever you go, heaven wants to come through you and into the atmosphere. Wants to come through you and be a recreative force on the earth. In the people that you meet. In the places that you go. The decisions that you make. The very environment itself should benefit from you being there. I believe. So if you don't think like this, let me ask you a question. Why? Is it because you think it's somebody else's job? Is it somebody else's job? No. Maybe you don't think like that. Maybe you think, well, I can't. I haven't got it together enough yet. Or I can't speak well. I can't sing. I'm not good with people. Maybe we have all kinds of reasons that stop us from thinking these things, don't we? Or maybe you used to. Maybe you used to wake up every morning and your heart was on fire to see the lost saved, to see the kingdom of God pulled down onto the planet, to see everything changed, to see the people who live with, you had a heart for them, you wanted to see the best for them, and that's grown cold, and you didn't know, you've stopped somehow, somewhere you dropped the ball. Maybe you got frustrated because everything you tried to do, everything, no matter how hard you tried, it just seemed to go nowhere. The more you strived, the less you got done. Can anyone relate to me this morning? You can say yes. Just give me a nod if you want to, if you don't want to say yes. Well, I want to tell you something. This morning, if you like that, I've got good news and bad news for you. See, the problem you've got is a problem of the soul. You've got a sickness in the soul. And the bad news is you've been tricked. You've been dulled. You believed a lie. But the good news is Jesus is alive and the truth will set you free. Amen? Come on, that was a weak amen. Thank you very much. So let me explain what I mean by you've got a sickness in your soul. Oh, we're up there already. So, you're made up of three parts. Did you know this? Kids count 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. You're made of your flesh. You can see my flesh. You're made of your soul. And you're made of your spirit. Now, Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. It's basically who you are. If you were a computer, your flesh would be the hardware and your soul would be the software. I don't have any other analogies, but you get what I mean. When you die, your earthly tent, your body, your flesh, stays here. But your everlasting soul goes on home. You, in essence, go. So you're made up of your soul and you're made up of the spirit. Now, the spirit is what is imparted into you when you're saved by grace. It's what makes you a new creation. It is the spirit of God. And where do I go next here? I think it's Galatians. Galatians says this in Galatians 5, 17 to 22. Now, I'm not going to say turn there today, just in the interest of time. But we'll read it to you, okay? Galatians says this, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things of these like these things. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh and its passions and desires. And if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step by the Spirit. So I like to think about it like this. Have you ever seen a cartoon where the character has a bit of a moral dilemma? And then there's a little angel version of himself with a halo and wings and a little devil version of himself with a pitchfork and a red tail. And they have this conversation about which way they should go. Like, steal it. No one will know. No, don't steal it because that's, you know. And then the character has to choose. I like to think a bit like that. And who knows what I'm talking about this morning. We might not see the angel and the demon, but we know we know about moral dilemmas, don't we? And you see, like, the flesh always has an answer for any time that your soul is in trouble. It always has a way to fix it, doesn't it? Like, if you're late, for example, and you want to say to the person, oh, I was held up, sorry, you know. When you weren't held up, you were just late. But you don't want to tell them you were late, because you don't want them to think that you don't value their time. And so the flesh says, just tell them that you were held up or you had a flat tire or something. You know, they're not going to find out and save their feelings. Or when you're wronged, you know, when someone does the wrong thing by you and you think, you know, it would just feel so good to give that person a piece of my mind. Or even worse, you know what I might do? I'm just going to tell everybody what kind of a jerk that guy is. That's what we want to do. It gratifies our soul. Like, our soul is wounded. We are annoyed. I'm annoyed at you, Devon, because you, I don't know. I'm not really annoyed at you, but in this hypothetical situation, you didn't give my game back that I borrowed you from a PS3. And then not only that, you sold it. Devon would never do that. He's a stand-up young man. But instead of going and doing the right thing, going, Devon, what happened here, you know? I go, what kind of a, are you, I trusted you, and how could you sell my game? And, you know, it feels better to do that, doesn't it? Sometimes it's like the instant reaction. Or, you know, when, this is my favorite, when circumstances build up around us and everything's going wrong, you know, this is why people turn to drink, to numb it out. You know, but maybe it's not drink, maybe it's something more subtle. Like, I'm going to go shopping, a bit of retail therapy. Or I'm going to eat a whole pizza to myself. Or I'm going to watch a whole series of a TV show one after the other, just to white noise out the drama. Don't put your hand up, but give me a nod if you can relate. You know what I'm talking about. And see, the problem is that the flesh always has an answer for your problems. Every time it has an answer. Like this. And it wants to help you. It wants to, but the problem with the flesh's solutions to your problems is that they're always attached to some long-term problem, aren't they? If you tell lies, it means you're a liar. If you lie about the small things, you think, I won't lie about something big. Why not? You lied about flipping being 10 minutes late. Why wouldn't you, you know, because you didn't want to suffer the consequences in that small thing. Why wouldn't you lie when, you know, there's a big deal down the road and, you know. And we all know that the effects of alcohol, the effects of overeating, the effects of overspending, the effects of just drowning yourself out and becoming numb to the world. We all know the effects that the flesh, like, well, what happens when we become the type of person who screams at someone every time that we get wronged? Or we just, every time we're wronged, we just go, oh man, you know, I just can't believe it. They did it again. You know, oh geez, yeah, I know. Lucky I'm not like this person or the rest of the world. I haven't got any problems. You know what I mean? What does that make us? It makes us immature. It makes us ineffective. It makes us untrustworthy. It makes us all these things, doesn't it? And the truth about it is this, is that the solutions that the flesh offers you are only very momentary, aren't they? As soon as you've stopped, as soon as you turn the television off, guess what comes back? All your circumstances and your drama screaming down your face, isn't it? They're all still there. If you don't address the problem correctly, and if you exasperate the problem by screaming at someone or gossiping about someone, what happens to that problem? Does it go away? It gets worse, doesn't it? The flesh always has a thing for you that's a quick thing, but it won't build your character. It won't build you up. It won't bring you into maturity. You know. And then the spirit's the other side. You know what, let's go to the next slide, actually. I saw this diagram at a conference I was at last week. And I don't know if you can see that so well, but it's like the spirit, the soul, and the flesh. And the soul's in the middle. The soul's like the battlefield. And there's a door from the spirit and there's a door to the flesh. And every time that the soul has a problem, we either stay in step with the spirit or we gratify the desires of the flesh, as the Bible calls it. And there's two doors there, but only one of them can be opened at a time. You know what I'm saying? Do you get where I'm going with this? And the door to the flesh is the one that already automatically opens. And the spirit automatically shuts. It's just something that we have to, it's like the easy option, isn't it? The Bible says, Galatians, we must be led by which one? The spirit. Of course we must be. Because the fruit of the flesh leads to death. Fruit of the flesh leads to death. You follow, I mean, it's not even the spiritual concept. It's just logic. You follow like the, you know, you follow the logical path of these actions, and where's it going to lead you? Alone, sad, you know, probably dying. You know, if we gratify the flesh with everything, the satisfying the flesh leads to death. So, what must we do? If satisfying the flesh leads to death, satisfying the spirit, staying in step with the spirit does what? Leads to life, everlasting life for starters. But the problem with the spirit is it normally gets you to do the hard thing, doesn't it? Sorry I was late because of the type of person I am. I can't get myself organized. You know, no one wants to say that. Nobody wants to say that. Someone does the wrong thing to you. Hey, man, listen, I just want to talk to you about something that happened. I just want to say that, you know, you made me feel like this, and, you know, yeah, I know I shouldn't have done that. Yeah, look, no stress, mate. It's all right. You know, what happens to that problem? Reconciliation. The problem goes away. That's not a grudge anymore. That's not a little ball of fire in your stomach anymore. that's just growing and growing and growing every time they do something obliviously that they don't know. And you know, when our circumstances get too much, what does the Spirit tell us to do? It calls us to turn our eyes upon Jesus, doesn't it? Yeah, that old song, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. You know, Jesus wants to be your source of comfort. Do you believe that this morning? And we sing about he wants to break our chains. And he does. But he wants to be your ever-present comfort as well. And you know, he's not going to make you fat by spending time with him. He's not going to drain your bank account by spending time with him. He's not going to waste your time like watching a full series of a TV show one back after back. We like him. You know, it's one of the best ways you can spend your time. One of my favorite quotes is this. It says, I often have so much to do in a day that it would be impossible to get it all done without spending an hour in prayer first. Just think about that one for a minute, because you spend an hour doing something other than the things you have to do. But it's true. It is the best way to spend your time. So Jesus calls us to let him be our comfort. And you know what the thing is that he may not change our circumstances for us like that. You know, whatever it is. You may have a health problem. You may have a relational problem. You may have a financial problem. And sitting and spending time with Jesus may not make it go away like that. I promise you there's no promise that says that it will. But what it does, it doesn't change your circumstances, but it changes you in your circumstances. You know, have you ever heard the saying, well, I suppose under the circumstances, I'm doing okay. Like, what are you doing under the circumstances? You have the victory. You're supposed to be over your circumstances. Amen? This is what it means by entering into God's rest. This is how you fix the sickness in the soul that dulls you to the place where you think that your job is just to be good until you go home to heaven one day. If you think that your job is just to be good until you get home to heaven, you have been tricked. Say, tricked. You've been tricked. You've been dulled. It doesn't happen overnight. You've been dulled into thinking that. You are a move of God, church. You are a move of God, individually. So, turn your eyes upon Jesus in every situation. The Spirit will call you to do the right thing, you know. And I want to go to, in a minute. I want to say this, is that it's called God's rest for a minute because the difference is if we're not in God's rest. See, we can believe we're a move of God. This is important. You can believe you're a move of God. You can set your whole life out for working for him, and you can miss it because you're striving in your own strength. If you strive in your own strength to do work for God, you will burn out, you will achieve nothing, and you'll wonder what it was all about. So this is what I mean by entering into God's rest. The last scripture I want to go to before I hand over to Pastor Yvette. Hebrews 4 says this. I swore in my wrath that they shall not enter my rest, although his works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has somewhere spoken of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again, in this passage he said, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains for some to enter it, those who formerly received the good news fail to enter because of disobedience. Again, he appoints a certain day, today, saying, through David so long afterward, saying through David so long afterward, in the words already quoted, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken on another day later on. So then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered the rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Now that is talking about the Israelites entering into Canaan, which is God's picture of rest. Go read that story if you want to understand this in a broader picture. But there's two things that will stop us entering into rest. It's there, it's available for us. Lack of faith and disobedience. When we sit and we listen to Jesus, he's soothing. He is comforting. He is encouraging. He's drawing us back to himself, away from sin. He's loving. And he gives us guidance. It takes faith to believe. And it takes obedience to put that faith into action, doesn't it? Knowing and believing mean nothing without obedience. Faith without works is essentially dead, isn't it? So here's what we want to do today. I'm going to hand over to Pastor Yvette. She's going to run us through an exercise about entering into God's rest, using Jesus as our source for comfort. Maybe you do this already, in which case, bonus, you get another go at it. Maybe you don't. And maybe it's something that you can do, but during this time, just allow Jesus to speak to you, to minister to you, wherever you are, whatever problems you have, whatever is going on. We need to operate from a place of rest, church. Now, you guys, a lot of you guys, I know you know that you're a move of God. I know, I see what you do in the church and in the community. You know you're a move of God. But the word of God today is this. You have to work from a place of rest. You have to work from a place of God's rest. We cannot strive in our own strength. So I encourage you, as Pastor Yvette leads us in this next exercise, you know, if you have your children, encourage them to do the same in this exercise. Oh, Pastor Yvette.
Morning, church. Right, this morning we want to minister to the Spirit now. Remember the slide of the... Armand, just put the slide up with the Spirit and the soul with the two doors. So when we face our circumstances, we need to grow into maturity. That's what we're all about this year, growing into Christian, Christ-like maturity. So I'm going to teach you how to open the door of the Spirit and the soul more easily this morning. So we want to shut down the door to the flesh, and we want to have the ability to enter quickly and effectively and efficiently through the door to the Spirit. We are allowed to use our imagination. Now I'm going to pray before we do anything that our imagination will be led by the Holy Spirit and only the Holy Spirit. And that nothing else can take hold of our imagination. Because I want us to imagine and to experience Jesus this morning. Now, this is something that the Lord has been sharing with me over this period of this year. I couldn't do this before. I struggled to get intimate with the Lord. It wasn't something that I could do easily, and I've been a Christian serving the Lord for 30 years. So now God has given me these tools, and this is teaching me how to become intimate with Jesus. So this is something that as we practice it, we become better and better and better. So I don't want you to stress out. I don't want you to feel guilty if you sit through the exercise and you see nothing, hear nothing, and feel nothing. But I want you to have your heart open and to ask God, show me a better way. Show me how to step into intimacy with you. I'm here. I want to learn. And as you do this more often, you will see it happens quicker, and you can easily see Jesus and experience him. So I don't want you to put any condemnation or guilt or anything on you if you're a young Christian and we've done this and it's not there. But I want you to see and believe and have faith that Jesus will speak to you this morning. And we're going to be obedient and we're going to do what he told us to do this morning. So are we all on board? Ready? Okay. So I'm going to speak you through the exercise. So, but first of all, let's just pray together. Father, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we submit ourselves under your authority and your power. Father, I plead the blood of Jesus Christ over all of us, body, soul, and mind. I ask that you will assign mighty warring angels to form an encampment around us, our families, everything that belongs to you. Father, I pray that we will hear only the voice of the Good Shepherd. I declare that our spiritual eyes and ears will be open only to Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and God the Father. I declare that every assignment set up against us today is null, void, empty, and cancelled out. And I declare that every spirit that's trying to interfere is deaf, mute, and blind. You have no authority and no power. And in the name of Jesus, I command you to leave. I thank you, Father, that we are safe in this space. And Holy Spirit, I ask that you will lead us through this exercise. Father, where we want to see you, where we want to hear your voice, I ask that you will cover us and protect us. And we will only see you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so there's a couple of steps. The first step is I want you to use your imagination. If I say, see Jesus, see if you can imagine Jesus with your spiritual eyes. He might be standing in front of you. He might be sitting down. He might be holding you. The ladies have done this on the camp and they've experienced Jesus. The children are doing it constantly in One Kids. But now we want to share it with the rest. So the first thing you do is this. You close your eyes. And you ask, say, Jesus, show me where you are. I'm going to give you a minute or two and see if you can see him coming into this building and where is he in front of you now. Now I want you to adore him. Don't speak in tongues and don't ask him questions and don't bring your shopping list. Just tell him how awesome and amazing and how beautiful he is. Just adore him. Now ask him. Say, Lord, what do you want to say to me today? And just wait upon him and hear him. Feel him. Lord, what do you want to say to me today? At this point, he might just declare his love for you, or he might say to you that he's in control of your situation, or he might have given you an instruction. Just ask him now, Lord, how do you want me to do this? Lord, how do you want me to do this? Now you step into Jesus. Just imagine him. He's standing in front of you, or he's sitting beside you, wherever it is. Maybe you're in a field dancing, wherever he's taking you to. Now you step into his rest. Just step into his being and allow his light and his truth to just flow into your spirit. Into your spirit. Now we might give you a scripture or a word, or he might remind you of something. He might give you a vision. Just listen. Now allow the Holy Spirit to restore you, to refresh you, to bring healing, to cover you. Just experience his love for you. Just feel that He's in control. And He will provide. We can use the last minute just to thank Him for His goodness, for who He is. Just adore Him once more. Right. I feel terrible cutting across whatever God's doing in you, but this is just an example of an exercise. If you want the steps, we can give it to you. We can provide it to you. You can just phone the office and we'll have a copy for you. All right, let's see. Who saw something that they would like to share with us? Who has seen and heard? You want to come and share. Not all at once. Okay, Mary, come. We're going to do this part led by questions. So I'm going to question Mary, and then she will share on that, just to keep it into the structure. Mary, just can stand here by me so that I can be taller than you. Okay. Okay, so Mary, the first thing, in a few sentences, explain to us what your experience was. What did you see or hear?
When you were asking where was Jesus, first of all, I could see the entry. And the next thing was here. And then the next thing was the middle.
What did Jesus share with you?
That He has given us all His power and all His authority. Use it.
Is there anything else you would like to add?
Yes, when you asked about now, where can you see Jesus? Is He in a field or something? I kind of saw Jesus on the beach at the ocean and walking towards me. And then basically when you finished, it was like, is He going to go now? Is He going to walk away? And I felt Jesus say, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you.
Just one last question. Did you feel that you went into His rest?
Not so much His rest, but more His presence.
That's what we want. It's part of it. Thank you, Mary. Okay. Is there anybody else? Sonia, come. Okay, share with us. What did you see and hear?
I saw Jesus when you told us to close our eyes. I saw Him directly in front of me, but He had the cross behind Him. And then you told us to adore Him. And the first thing I remember was looking at His garment. Then I was thinking, no, Sonia, you don't look at the clothes. You look at Him inside. And I just saw how beautiful He was. And He just told me, you'll be fine. You'll be okay. And I was like, but I've got so many decisions and things to make. He says, yes, whatever you decide, you'll be fine. And then He just took me and I said, Lord, but there's so much. And He goes, remember that I care for this, as much as I care for the sparrows and the birds of the air, how much more will I care for you? Because you are my daughter and I love you. And then you told us to enter in His rest, and I've just had a vision. I was just sitting on Jesus' lap and He was stroking my hair and just telling me that I've got nothing to worry about.
Thank you, Sonia. Beautiful. What is awesome about this exercise is Jesus works with you. Whatever ticks your little boxes, he uses that. He speaks to what you love so that you can relate to him. It's good to testify because then others can hear and it encourages us. We've still got a little bit of time. Is there any other person that would like to come and testify? Come. Remember, even if we testify means do it again, Lord. So when we testify, we're saying, God, we want to hear more. Tell us, what did you feel and what did you hear and experience?
When you asked to picture him being there, my eyes actually instantly started to weep. And he was there, but I was kind of a little bit standoffish, and he was just standing at the doorway. And I said, look, just take your time. Let me in when you want to let me in. And seriously, my eyes were just weeping uncontrollably, and I don't know. I was trying to control, and at that point, I just thought, wow, okay, I'll let you in. And instantly, he was standing in front of me, and he kind of had his hands around my face, and he was telling me to rest and just to let it all go. And it was actually quite beautiful, just letting it go. Mm.
Do you feel free?
Yeah, I do. I do. There's a lot going on. So instantly, I've had some physical pain and stuff because I've been holding on to a few things. And when he touched me, it was actually gone. And I kind of got a little bit of a, no, I told you, feeling. But it was just, I have to say, quite beautiful. And I could feel the love coming from him.
Anything else you would like to add?
I suppose when you asked us that, just to kind of let him go and come back, the words of reassurance that I got from him were, you know, even though I'm you don't see me physically standing there in front of you, I'm always there with you, yeah, and I'm never going to be gone. I'll always be there.
Thank you. This is so real. And if we don't make time for this, we miss out on these experiences. This is not reading your daily devotions. This is not the quick prayer. This is not the shopping list. This is something different. This is intimacy with him. This is putting everything aside and stepping into his being. And this is something that we need to learn. It doesn't come by itself. So I think you've heard enough testimonies. So I want to thank you. Thank you for participating. I encourage you to practice this more and more and more.
So I feel like I just have something to say about this also for some guys. You know, we didn't have any guys who came and testified just now. And if you're new, or if you don't do this kind of stuff, or you haven't done this kind of stuff before, Pastor Yvette said that whatever ticks your boxes, Jesus is to you. I want to tell you, when I meet with Jesus, when he talks to me, he talks to me in an Australian accent. Go figure that one out. He's from the Middle East, but he has an Australian accent when he talks to me. I've never sat on his knee. As a matter of fact, the way Jesus talks to me is quite stern. But never telling me off. Like, he just, I don't know why, it's just the way he is. I feel like I'm encouraged, I feel like I'm accepted, and I feel like it's, I can do it and I'm being built up, but he's not cooey and kari with me, and he doesn't stroke my hair, and I don't sit on his knee. And that's fine if you do. But it's also fine if you don't. So men, we didn't hear from any men today. But I don't want you to go away feeling like, oh man, something must be wrong with me because Jesus doesn't, relate to me in this way. And I just want to say, this whole idea of God's rest, so important on the way forward. So important on the way forward. If you ever catch yourself striving to make something happen without having just gone, Jesus, what do you think about this? Do yourself a favor, hit the anchors, and just do what we've just done, or something like it, however it goes for you. Get some perspective, get some guidance, just get a paradigm shift, because that's the difference. You can do the same work, and you can strive in your own strength, or you can do it in God's rest. And the difference is magnificent. So you are a move of God. You are a big deal.